Girivaradari. Asmandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasora Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Jari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Jari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Nitai Gora Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Sayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Vrvdhikacharya Sutrata Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Vrvdhikacharya Sutra Sutta Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisaranta Goswami Maharaj Ki Jaya. Ananti Kori Vaishnavrinda Ki Jaya. Namachari Srila Haridasa Kor Ki Jaya. Premzakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaiti Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Navadip Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Shri Mati Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. The Divine Holy Appearance Day of Shri Baladeva Ki Jai. Hari Nama Sankirtana Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Haribo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Balaram Ki Jai is always one of my favorite festivals, the appearance day of Lord Balaram. So this morning I'd like to say a few things, and I just wanted to read a few things also from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I won't get too deep into it because I know that Dina Bandhu Prabhu will give us a really wonderful discourse on the pastimes of Lord Baladev. So I won't get to that too much. But a few things we'd like to say. First of all, when I was looking at this, I was really thinking how Krishna is fully immersed in enjoyment. Whenever you read the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, everything's enjoyable. Every day is a festival and a party. And I was thinking also in Krishna consciousness, it's the same way. It's a festival every day. This one today is a little bit more special, but every day is really a festival. Krishna is so amazing that Krishna, he doesn't really have a mother or father, but he appears with a mother and father. And I was thinking this has to be just so that we'll become attracted to him, so that our hearts will become immersed in love for him. So this is the whole science of Krishna consciousness, really bhakti. And Krishna, he's so wonderful that he's expanded into all of us, little infinitesimal sparks. And our real business is actually to enjoy with Krishna. So today is a really wonderful day. We're celebrating the expansion of Lord Balaram. And Balaram is actually the first expansion of Krishna, but he's exactly like Krishna. He's non-different from Krishna. And he's there to assist Krishna in his loving pastimes. That's so amazing. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he expands himself just to have someone assist him in his activities of enjoying loving pastimes. And in the spiritual world, Krishna and Balaram are always existing. They're always together, always. They're never separated, they're always together. And they have these wonderful, ecstatic pastimes. And Krishna and Balaram are personalities. They're expanded into two. There's Krishna and then there's Balaram. And they're eternally there for enjoyment. And in the same way, we jivatmas, we're just infinitesimal little sparks. But we're also part of that. We're part of that enjoyment factor. We just have forgotten it. We've become immersed in the material world and on this bodily concept of life. But we've forgotten that as little parts and parcels of Krishna, little infinitesimal sparks, of course, but our purpose is to actually to enjoy with Krishna. That is our business. Now, there's a difference between us and Balaram, of course, because Balaram is non-different. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we're just like little jivatmas. We're just little tiny particles. But we're also meant to enjoy. So like today, we're going to enjoy hearing about Lord Baladev. We're going to enjoy kirtan. We're going to enjoy prasad that's being offered to Lord Balaram. So this is the nature of spiritual life. And we, as living entities, infinitesimal, we're subordinate to Krishna. And in every respect, not just some little part, but in every respect, we're subordinate to Krishna at all times. But the thing is, we're eternally existing because we're parts of Krishna. We're parts and parcels of Krishna. So this is our business. And Krishna even says, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, that these little sparks, we're in this material world in the conditioned state, but we are the eternal fragmental parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, the real purpose of Krishna, as we said so many times, that is to enjoy, and we are here manifested for that same reason, to enjoy with Krishna. So it's kind of wonderful to think of Balaram. Like Bala means strength and Ram means enjoyment. So you can see that when you read the pastimes of Lord Balaram, he's always enjoying. Whatever he does, whether he's fighting or he's trying to tell the Jamuna to come and so I can bathe in you, even though he may be putting his plow in the ground and pulling the Jamuna closer to him. It's all enjoyment. It's just beautiful, wonderful pastimes. So in order for us to understand spiritual life, we do need the assistance of Balaram. Because Balaram gives us a strength. And when we say strength, we don't mean bodily, but we mean spiritual strength. That spiritual strength is necessary in order for us to understand what our position is and how we should be enjoying with Krishna. Otherwise, we don't know. We won't understand. We'll be engrossed in ahankar, the bodily concept of life, and we'll think enjoyment is just what's here in this material world. We won't have any real knowledge or understanding what the purpose of life is. So, unless, of course, we know that Balaram's Guru Tattva, he's the original spiritual master. And from him, we can understand, by his mercy, by his grace, we'll be able to understand what our real position is as being conditioned souls in the material world. We're not this body, we're actually spirit soul. So, we're actually very fortunate that we have someone in our Srila Prabhupada, and he gave us so much knowledge about this science of Krishna consciousness. And from that, we've learned how to properly associate, we've learned how to properly enjoy. And this is our supreme occupation, really. Svaipum shamparo damo yato bhaktir hokshajay ahaituki aparitihata yamasupasidati. That this is our real business. Our real business is the supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which all men can attain loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. But this service that we have to render is got to be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to satisfy the self. That's the key ingredient, uninterrupted. That's very, very strong word. Uninterrupted. You can see that in Krishna consciousness, so many challenges each day. You have the adidaivik, adibhautik, adiatmik, miseries continually beating on us. We have our own minds to deal with. So to execute Krishna consciousness means uninterrupted and unmotivated, not for some selfish gain, not to think, oh, I'll become God. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, he gave us that clear understanding of what it means to be a devotee in Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna and performing bhakti yoga. It's described that bhakti is composed of two elements. It's sanvit and hladini. Sanvit means knowledge, and hladini means pleasure. So if we want knowledge and pleasure, we have to surrender to the spiritual master, to the guru, and of course, Balaram. Sambit, knowledge, very important. Otherwise, it's very difficult to engage unmotivatedly and uninterrupted. Very difficult, very challenging. So knowledge is an extreme important factor. And bhakti is such that when we perform bhakti for Krishna, he's very satisfied. And not only by him being satisfied, but us performing bhakti, we're satisfied. So that is the exchange. When we do bhakti yoga, when we perform service to Krishna, he's very happy with that. And us, as doing that service, we're very happy also. So bhakti yoga is a very powerful ingredient, very powerful tool for loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's so important for us to try to perform this service with so much sincerity and love. Just like we see Balaram, his whole purpose is to assist Krishna in all aspects. Like all his clothing, you see all these beautiful clothing that, this is Balaram, the cane, Balaram, the flute of Krishna is Balaram. And these are the different pastimes. So if we are very interested in development of this pure love for Krishna, we have to have some knowledge, some understanding. And that comes by the Guru Tattva, by the association of a bona fide spiritual master. And from that, we learn that we're not this body, ahankar. We're not this material body. This is temporary. And the real power within this body is the soul, the atma. So, these are just some of the few things that I was thinking about when I was trying to read this particular pastime of Lord Balaram. This is another verse I'm thinking. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Paryojita Janana Yasuvairagam Gyanam Chada Haitukam. It says that by rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, we immediately acquire causeless knowledge and detachment from this material world. That's an ingredient, that's a component of performing bhakti yoga, that if we perform this process, immediately we acquire knowledge. And that knowledge is there so quickly. You can be a devotee just for a few months, and just by chanting Hare Krishna, following the regulative principles, and doing devotional service, it becomes very noble very quickly. I'm really not this body. There's more to me than this particular body. So this rendering of service is very important. Balaram, this is what he does. He serves Krishna in all aspects and all levels. And for us, as infinitesimal sparks, it's also our business. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Our business is to render service to Krishna. And of course, there's nine processes, hearing and chanting. And this hearing and chanting, this is why we're here today. We're hearing and chanting about Lord Balaram. And those are the two most important factors in development of knowledge and motivation to go on and serve the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. So, having said that, I'd like to just read a few things here. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Just a few pages, and then maybe say a few more words, and then maybe read some pastimes if we have an opportunity to do that. If we have time, we'll do that. So I like to read from Adi Lila, chapter 5, text number 4. I'm just going to read the English, the translation and purports. Okay? So, quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. Lord Shri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Shri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms have unlimited potency are called Swamsa, and forms that have limited potencies, the living entities, are called Vibhinamsa." Next verse. "These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. "Balaram is a Swamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Shri Krishna in his transcendental activities." Text number 7. "The original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip, and Lord Chaitanya and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda." Next verse. "May Shri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance, Sankarshan, Sesha Naga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana Ocean, Garbha Ocean, and Ocean of Milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions." Text 8. "Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms." Text 10. "He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation and in the form of Lord Shesha. He serves Krishna in various ways." Purport. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. One is Maha Sankarshan, two is Karanadakashayi, Garbhadakashayi, and Shiradakashayi, and Sesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Sesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Sesha is called Ananta, or unlimited. Because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services, Sri Balaram is a servitor Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Next verse. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head, and sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother Balaram felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself would serve him by massaging his feet. Next verse. What to speak of others? Even Lord Baladev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of emotions like pure friendship and paternal love. Purport. Although Lord Baladev appeared before the birth of Lord Krishna and is therefore Krishna's worshipable elder brother, he used to act as Krishna's eternal servitor. In the spiritual sky, all the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by the quadruple expansions of Krishna known as the Chatur Vyuha. They are direct expansions from Baladev. It is the singularity of the Supreme Lord that everyone in the spiritual sky thinks himself a servitor of the Lord. According to social convention, one may be superior to Krishna, but factually everyone engages in his service. Therefore, in the spiritual sky or the material sky, in all the different planets, no one is able to supersede Lord Krishna or demand service from him. On the contrary, everyone engages in the service of Lord Krishna. As such, the more a person engages in the service of the Lord, the more he is important, and conversely, the more one is bereft of the transcendental service of Krishna, the more he invites the bad fortune of material contamination. In the material world, although materialists want to become one with God or compete with God, everyone directly or indirectly engages in the service of the Lord. The more one is forgetful of the service of Krishna, the more he is considered to be dying. Therefore, when one develops pure Krishna consciousness, he immediately develops his eternal servitorship to Krishna. So, from these particular verses, we see the magnanimity and the position of Lord Baladev, and how us as infinitesimal sparks need to come in contact with Lord Balaram in order to become freed from all the anxieties of the material world. There's so many anxieties. In fact, in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, his father asked him, the demon Hiranyakashipu asked him, "Prahlad, what have you learned in school?" And Prahlad Maharaj said, "Oh, best of the asuras." He said, "One thing I've learned is that the whole human society is an anxiety. All living entities in this material world are in anxiety. Even from the ant is in anxiety. The roach is in anxiety. The elephant is in anxiety. And even in human society, we see the lowest of mankind is in anxiety. The president of the United States is in anxiety. Everybody in this material world is in anxiety." So, Prahlad Maharaj has stated that Asad Vastu, that everybody is surrendering to this non-permanent culture of the bodily platform of life. And because of this association, we're living constantly in anxiety, constantly. And we experience it ourselves. I'd have to say that I experienced it myself last night, actually. I was telling Tadit that last night, out of nowhere, like maybe 10:30 at night, I woke up and I was like super hot, sweating like anything. And my heart was going 100 miles an hour out of nowhere. I couldn't figure out how this actually happened. And then I couldn't go back to sleep, so I had to get up and I started chanting. But immediately I was in anxiety because I was thinking, how am I going to tell Archie to Prabhu that I can't give class today? Immediately I was in anxiety. That was the first... That's the first thing that came into my mind immediately. Transcendental. So immediately I was overcome by the stress and I couldn't get it out of my mind. Even when I was trying to chant a few rounds, I was saying, oh my God, this is crazy. How can it happen on this particular day? This is insanity. It can't be real. But that's the nature of the material world. When we least expect it, something will happen and we'll be in complete anxiety. And so that's the nature. And that is because of the bodily platform of life. Because I thought I was who I am, Savas, you're Savas, you know. And immediately I thought I'm Savas and there I was in anxiety. Instead of thinking that I'm spirit soul, that I should just be serving Krishna and not be thinking about myself. So it's described, Asato Masad Gamaya. We don't want to live in this material world, which is full of anxiety. But we need to get out of it. Sadgamaya. It means go to the real platform. The real platform is spiritual. That's the real life, spiritual life. This other life is not real. It only creates so much anxiety and stress and unhappiness in our life. So this is why Balaram is so important. Because if we surrender to Balaram and beg for his mercy, as we said, Balaram means strength. We need that strength in order to fight off this bodily platform of life. And knowledge, we need this knowledge also. And out of that, we can have pleasure. Rama means pleasure. So if we surrender to Lord Balaram, now we can get that strength where we can have pleasure. What is that strength for? That strength is for actually performing devotional service. Krishna conscious strength. We need that. We see in the material world, so many people, they think that strength, that baladis strength, means bodily strength. We see in society today, so many people, they're becoming big, bulky, powerful, very strong, and they work at it. They think that that's what's going to make them happy. They think that this is the strength that they need, even for their spiritual life. Even in the Christian faith, strength to them means good bodily structure, good family life, great job, work nicely, be a good person. But this is not the strength that one needs in order to become self-realized. It's spiritual strength that we need. And this is what Lord Balaram offers us. He offers us this opportunity. And because he is Guru Tattva, if we surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, we'll get this understanding. This is how we'll understand that. If we think on our own we're going to develop, we're going to be, powerful. No, not possible. We need this association of the spiritual master and the devotees and, of course, the blessings of Lord Balaram. And we see that, like for instance, Papa gave an example. In the material world, you can have, like let's say, a Mercedes car. You can have a Rolls Royce for that matter. But if that Mercedes car or Rolls Royce doesn't have any petrol, what is the good of that car? What is the good of the Mercedes Benz? It has no value. It has no use. So if we spend our life simply to try to make this body better, to work for this body, do everything for this body, What's the use of that body? Once the soul is gone, what is the good of that body? You can be very powerful. You can be very good looking. You can be so many things. But what is the value of that body? It's useless. It becomes nothing. It's just a waste. So this is a very important philosophical understanding, because even as devotees, we struggle with this. We think that we need to do so many different things, and sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's speculation. But the main thing is that we should try to really develop our Krishna consciousness, our spiritual life, by increasing our hearing and chanting, by increasing our service to Krishna, to the parampara. This is the real remedy. This is the panacea. Because automatically, if you become a devotee, there's so many things that you'll do that are appropriate, that are proper. If you become a very powerful devotee, like a yogi, you'll eat not too much, not too little. You'll know what to eat, what not to eat. You'll have self-control. You'll know you're not sleep too much, not to sleep too little. So automatically, by becoming a very powerful devotee, all those things are there, automatically. Whereas sometimes we get confused and we think, oh, no, I got to do this, I got to do that. And material, for what? We have to ask ourselves, for what? Is it for Krishna consciousness? If it means that we reach out to the material world for something like that, what does that mean? Excuse me, I'm having a muscle cramp. Material world. Material body. So, yes, this is what's really important to try to understand. That we have to be very cautious, very careful, so that we don't go beyond the realm of what Krishna consciousness is about. And that we should try to more and more be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, spiritual activity, what Srila Prabhupada told us. And automatically, all these things will happen without having to go any outside. Now, I know I'm saying something very high, and you know, some of you say, well, are you experiencing that? Well, of course not. I'm speaking to myself also. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself, preaching to myself, that how important it is for myself to understand these principles and who I should really be surrendering to and how I should be acting. So these things are very important. And this ahankara, it's vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. This Prabhupada describes this as this independent thinking. It's an independent kind of thinking, meaning that we kind of take it upon ourselves, well, this is what I got to do. And this independent thinking was dangerous. It's very dangerous on the path of spiritual life, of liberation, of Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very careful that this isn't involving like false prestige, you know, thinking that we're independent. We can find some material solution to the problems, make some material adjustment. But they don't understand. This is bewilderment. And we see that we as devotees, we also struggle with this. I know that I do. I'll admit it to you. Even though I've been a devotee for as long as I've been a devotee, still, you struggle with this ahankar, this Bali platform of life. And that's why today it's very important to pray to Lord Baladev, so that we can actually get his mercy, so we can get that strength that's necessary to execute that service, unmotivated and uninterrupted. And this is the ingredient that's necessary for our own purification. And so we see that here, Baladev is so graciously giving us an opportunity to do this. I'll read something else here. This is something that, just a quote that I found, and I thought I should read it. It says, in the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Shankarshan, Ananta or Sesha, is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is a display of the potency of Shankarshan. Balaram or Shankarshan is the source of spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is a representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is a manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. So, how important it is to have a bona fide spiritual master in order to attain this high platform of spiritual strength. You know, when you get a little bit older in age, you think about what it, you know, your age creates, you know, bodily discomforts. You feel weak. Sometimes you can't sleep. Sometimes you can't eat. So many things that happen. So how do you get the strength? Because we think, let me eat, I'll get my strength. But that's not really the strength that we're talking about. That strength that we're discussing here today is that spiritual potency, that Atma, that soul within the body. This is what we need to nourish. And this is the entity that we need to constantly be thinking about and praying to Krishna to please help me. This is the real Krishna conscious life. That's what we're doing here. Everything that Prabhupada gave us here is for that purpose. We have the deity worship. We have the chanting of Hare Krishna. We take prasadam. We have a little service that we can do for Krishna throughout the day. All these things are nourishing the soul. And this is part of bhakti. When you do bhakti, Krishna becomes happy. If you do it very sincerely, with great devotion, Krishna's happy. Then you get Krishna's mercy. And also by that bhakti process, you become happy. I was thinking when this Ratiyatra festival, there's so much anxiety for whatever reason. So many things happen. And it's stressful. And you just you don't know what to do. Sometimes you just want to throw your hands in yourself and forget it. Just go do whatever you're going to do. We'll worry about it later. Really, it happens like that. And then all of a sudden, the parade starts, and the parade's rumbling down the street. And then in the middle of that particular parade, and the devotees chanting and dancing, and then you're thinking to yourself, this is worth every bit of it. And you're also thinking, there's no place else I'd rather be than right here today. I wouldn't trade this particular spot where I am today for anything in the world, because that place was so beautiful, with so many devotees chanting. I was looking up at Lord Baladev. I was by the cart, and I was just thinking, oh my God, this, where else could I possibly want to be but here right now, hearing the chanting, the glorification. And I forgot about everything. I forgot about anybody said anything to me or accused me of something. Didn't even think about it. Didn't think about anything that happened in the course of working with this festival. Didn't even think about it. Forgot about it 100%. And I was just so happy to be there. And to me, that is Krishna consciousness. I thought, wow, I am really feeling good today. And I didn't even know why. It just happened like that. Because we're in the middle of it, and we just kind of like surrender, and we just want to like just serve Prabhupada and ISKCON and the deities. And just, you forget about it. You don't think about it anymore. And you think, wow, this is real pleasure. It was real pleasure. And it was so much pleasure that I couldn't even take it. You know, at a certain point, I'm serious, I literally could not take it. It was just too much. And I just had to like move on because I didn't know how to deal with that pleasure. I didn't know how to really accept it. It was just beyond my capacity as a person to really know how to deal with that happiness and that pleasure that I felt. And now that I'm sitting here discussing with you, I'm just wishing, whoa, will that day come again sometime? I hope it does. So, okay, we'll just spend a few minutes just reading a little bit more about Balaram. Just a few things I'll say here. Not too much more. Okay, the descent of Balaram. Whenever Krishna appears in the material world, he is accompanied by his associates and paraphernalia. 5,000 years ago, when Krishna descended into the material world, he was first preceded by Baladev. Only after Baladev gave his mercy did Krishna descend. Such is the intimate relationship between Krishna and Baladev. When Baladev appeared as the seventh child in the womb of Devaki, she could understand that this was a divine child, and this made her all the more concerned about his safety. Even Kamsa could sense his potency, and he became fearful, thinking he may have been tricked by the prophecy that he would be slain only by the eighth child of Devaki. At this time, Krishna instructed Yogamaya, his internal potency, to transfer the unborn child from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini, one of the other wives of Vasudeva, who was hiding from Kamsa in the house of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. In this way, Balaram was born in Gokul under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. Gargamuni, the venerable Kul Guru, or family priest, of the Yadu dynasty, revealed to Rohini that the child she was carrying was indeed that of her husband Vasudev. At the time of the name-giving ceremony, he named the child Rama, one who gives all pleasures. Referring to the immense strength of the child, Gargamuni predicted that he will also be known as Balaram, Bala meaning strength. Since he was forcibly extracted from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini, he was also called Shankarshan. As the son of Rohini, he was known as Rohini Nandan. And as the elder brother of Krishna, he was also called Doji. Read it one couple more. The form of Lord Balaram. Powerful Lord Balaram is 16 years old, full of luster, of youth, and has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. He wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. His handsome hair is tied in a graceful top knot. Splendid earrings adorn his ears, and his neck is splendidly decorated with garlands of flowers and strings of jewels. Splendid armlets and bracelets ornament Doji's graceful and very strong arms, and his feet are decorated with splendid jeweled anklets. Lord Balaram's beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak, made from musk, and his broad chest is ornamented with a garland of gunja. Balaram's voice is very grave, and his arms are very long, touching his thighs. The splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendental form eclipses many millions of glistening rising moons, and the slightest scent of his boundless strength is sufficient to destroy many armies of demons. Although he knows the supernatural power of his younger brother Krishna, still, out of love for him, he never leaves Krishna alone in the forest, even for a moment. Balaram is Sri Krishna's dearest friend and is a great reservoir of the nectar mellows of many kinds of transcendental pastimes. It's interesting to note that Balaram is involved in all five rasas in Krishna's pastimes. It's like the Santa Rasa, as we're reading Rasa. Here we see that he's the service. He expands himself through his energy to be assist Krishna, like you said, in the flute, the cloth that Krishna wears, and ornaments. This is Santa Rasa. In the Dasa Rasa, we see that Balaram was always there in the mood of menial servant to Krishna. He would serve Krishna on any level. Like when Krishna was tired, he'd lay down and Balaram would massage his feet. So he was there in the Dasya Rasa. And then he was also there in the Shankya Rasa. He appears as Krishna's friend. They play together. They dance together. They fought together. They fought each other. So this was the Shakya Rasa. And then Vatsalya Rasa, he was there as an older brother to Krishna, and he was very concerned about Krishna's activities. And sometimes he would tell Krishna, "Krishna, it's late, let's go." Or he'd say, "Krishna, wake up." Or sometimes he'd say, "Krishna, it's your birthday today." So he'd be very concerned as a parent with Krishna. And he would show all, exhibit all these particular feelings for Krishna. And in the Madhurya Ras, he became Ananda, Ananga Manjari, became a gopi in the Rasa dance. So Balaram is extremely an exquisite personality and most merciful. So we should take advantage of this day to remember him and pray to him for his blessings so that we can go on with our Krishna consciousness, all of us together. Should I read like one pastime or something for a couple more minutes? Just very quickly, I'll just read something. Balaram kills Palambasura. Not very long. This is condensed. Once when Krishna and Balaram were playing with the cowherd boys, a demon named Palamba entered their midst, disguised as a cowherd boy. Understanding the invincible potency of Krishna, he instead decided to abduct Balaram. At the end of the game, as a losing party, he was supposed to carry Balaram on his shoulders. Carrying the Lord on his shoulders, he ran swiftly. But Balaram, realizing the true identity of the demon, began to make himself heavier and heavier. Unable to bear the weight, the demon assumed his original form, which was like a huge, dark, effulgent cloud, decorated with golden ornaments. Balaram then brought his fist down on the head of the demon, splitting it into two and causing him to give up his life. Balaram ki jai. So I'll leave the rest to Dina Bandhu Prabhu. Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Just one nice pastime with Prabhupada. And Yamuna and Madhudvisa and Tamal Krishnamars. This is in Vrindavan. And Madhudvisa, Prabhu is speaking, Maharaj, he's speaking to Yamuna and saying how in the Nectar of Devotion it said that there's no difference between Balaram and Krishna except for their colors. And Yamuna said, "No, there's more. You know, Krishna is the only beloved of Radharani. Everything emanates from Krishna. Balaram is an expansion of Krishna." So many differences. So Tamal Krishnamars, he was hearing this conversation. So he went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, Yamuna and Madhudvisa, Prabhu, they were having this conversation about Balaram. Madhudvisa said that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is their color." And Prabhupada said, "That's right." But then Yamuna said, "But there's more differences. Krishna is the only beloved of Srimati Radharani. Everything is emanating from Krishna. Balaram's an expansion of Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "That's right." And Tamal Krishnamar said, "But Prabhupada, how can they both be right?" And Prabhupada said, "You decide."
That was it. Hari Bol. I'd like to make one announcement, and that is that we do need help in the kitchen. Ratnabhushana and Apurva Prabhus, they need help in the kitchen. So if anybody could come in the kitchen. There's no prasad this morning. So usually we take an hour to eat prasad, don't we? You know, to eat and kind of relax. So can we take that 1 hour? Instead of prasad, we go to the kitchen for 1 hour. That would be good. So please think about that. Yes. Brigupati. Oh.
Well, one day after Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, he was on his morning walk. So he asked, "Who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram?" So everybody gave the argument that Krishna, he's the supreme personality, that he's the most strong. And then, no, Balaram means strength, he's the most strong. Everybody was debating back and forth. And then Prabhupada said, "You see the deities? Balaram is leaning on Krishna. Krishna is more strong."
Zai, wonderful, very good.
And then he walked along and he said, "Now everything is all right because Balaram is here."
Jai.
Now Balaram is here. Everything. You have any trouble, you just come before Balaram. "My dear sir, this is my problem. He'll take care of it."
Jai. Hari Bol. Prigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing with us all those different pastimes, Prabhupada's realizations, and your own realizations. I'd like to ask you a question about the experience you were having during Rath Yatra Day when you're in front of Balaram's cart and you said you're experiencing a lot of pleasure. And I'm asking this in a very genuine way, no cynicism, because I very much appreciate how much I'm aware of and appreciate how much austerity you perform in, you know, to perform your devotional service as our temple president, as the BBT trustee. So this is a genuine question. So I'm just wondering, you said you're experiencing a lot of pleasure and it got so much that you felt like you couldn't handle it and you had to, what were you afraid was going to happen?
You know, I was afraid that I was going to blow it and lose it. I really did. That's funny that you asked me that. I'll be honest. I actually thought that I was going to, like, mess it up.
Well,
I don't even know how I was going to mess it up. That was the first thought that came to my mind. I didn't know how I was going to mess it up. But I had such, you know, you might say, lack of you know, confidence that I was experiencing this.
Was that the first time you ever experienced anything like that in your life? Or?
Maybe sometime else, but that was the most recent. Maybe sometime I did somewhere. I can't remember, but on this particular circumstance, I do remember it, and I think it'll stick with me for a while.
Wow. All right, thank you.
But yeah, I was afraid of it.
Hare Krishna. So I was just wondering, that last pastime that you told with Pralambasura, you know, that Putana approach Krishna as a mother, but to actually attempt to kill Krishna. So Pralambasura approached Krishna in the mood of a coward, or as a coward boy disguised, but trying to kill Krishna. So did he also, Putana attained the position of a mother in the spiritual world. So Pralambasura, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, he did, as a coward boy in the spiritual world.
I'm not sure if he was a cowherd boy, but you know, he definitely was liberated by the killing of by Balaram. I believe that also that there's a story about the Anartas behind that also, right? The Pralambasura pastime. It portrays the Anartas that we are all suffering from. And I think that particular pastime, Pralambasura, is one of them. Isn't that right, Dinavanda Prabhu?
I'd like to ask Dina Banduka, how do they celebrate this day in Vrindavan?
How do we celebrate in Vrindavan? We have a very ecstatic Abhishek of Krishna and Balaram. First of all, we have usually two people give class. Somebody gives, you know, tattva. And then usually I'll give Leela, like that. We'll have two, sometimes three people give class because there's no breakfast, so we can go late. And, you know, of course, temple is unbelievably decorated. It's the opulence of Vrindavan is the flowers. You know, we just have so many flowers. And here it costs so much for the flowers. We just put a few little garlands there. We have just strings and strings of flowers everywhere. And we have a new outfit. Then we have just an incredible Abhishek. There's no, the Abhisheks that we have in Vrindavan, my experience is just not anywhere else the same. You know, Jamastami or Balaram's Pasi, just ecstatic Abhishek, and we have a huge feast in the evening for everyone.
Right. We feel humbled.
Hare Krishna. During your talk, you were saying that we shouldn't become independent. I was wondering if you can explain the difference between being independent and being independently thoughtful.
Well, it depends on independently thoughtful. Are you thinking about your body or your mind, or are you thinking about your devotional service?
Well, I've heard some people quote Prabhupada says that the Brahmanas should be independently thoughtful.
Well, that's a rhetorical question. That's kind of... I guess it kind of depends on each individual, I suppose. I wouldn't know how to really answer that. I mean,
if I think of myself being independently thoughtful, it would mean that I would try, if I was, let's say if I was engaged in some kind of activity, how to make the proper decision to execute that service. So I would say that would be something that I would do independently, you know, thoughtful. I would see, well, let me, I got to do this service. I have to distribute books. So, okay, I was told to go here to this particular spot. It's pretty dead. Independently thought would mean, well, wait a minute. I got to go somewhere. I don't want to blow my day. Let me run over to this place that I know has got some people there and I know I can do something. And I'll go there. So, in other words, how to execute your service to the best possible means.
Thank you, Prabhu. I when you mentioned that, also I had that in mind. That when you mentioned that independently, thoughtful, I mean independently. And immediately came to my mind that sometimes it's very easy to, you know, like when we mention the others, like the material world, that's very easy.
Yeah.
Because they're not in relation to Krishna enough. But us, as a society, we have experienced so much discrepancies because of misuse or being like in the name of doing spiritual pursuits, sometimes thinking that, oh, I'm doing fine. So then I just thought and ask you the question, how would you deal or how would we deal with these issues, you know, like when we're not taking advice from the saintly devotees, from the sadhus, and then otherwise, you know, you've seen already so many things going on. So I thought maybe I was going to ask you that question, but he already did.
It's got a lot of avenues to it. But I think in that particular pattern that I was thinking about was like, you know, they're independently thinking. They're thinking they're independent, and they're going to figure out how they can have material solutions to problems. In other words, that's the way a materialist is thinking. You know, I'm going to figure out how to do this by some material arrangement. And that's really what's bad. Whereas a devotee, they independently are thoughtful, but they do it under the guise and the protection of guru, sadhu, and shastra. They don't do anything outside that realm. Whereas in a material world, they just do it whatever they think, whatever they feel like. You know, somebody will come up here and say, well, I'm God. And we'll go, oh, my God, what are you, nuts? So they're independently thinking, okay, I'm going to solve everything because I'm God. But they're not. It's just all wishful thinking. It's all, it's temporary. They're just misunderstanding. Whereas a devotee, everything we do is a relationship to instruction of guru, sadhu, and shastra.
So no one is free from that, right? GVC, sannyasis, gurus, no one is exempt.
No one's exempt. No exemptions.
So that is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's establishing the GVC or a group of devotees to actually work out this.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Prabhu, one more. We'll do one more.
Couldn't hold back, sorry. Independent and thoughtful, that's how I read it. Independent and thoughtful. And we all know, you know, that our independence means dependence.
Yeah.
Dependence on Krishna. And thoughtful, you know, we have so many different feelings and emotions, and our thoughts generate from those particular emotions. So if we can be feeling this dependence on the Supreme Lord, then our thoughtfulness will be, you know, about, you know, a willingness to render service to the Supreme Lord. So
yeah.
I just have to say that my point was that independence means dependence on the Supreme Personality of God. Like that.
Yeah. Shri Balarama ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.